Water?
Thank you.
že...
Když vypadá Pana Mahamsa, budeme do Kacharny spadat za to šíši, ne? Is there any grace? Of he said, Dante Sarasati Goswami Maharaj. Anatu Kudavaishnava Diki. Iskan founded the Chari's Divine Grace of the Prabhupada Ki. Machari Shri Das Pad Kurki. Aim Shri Gahoshi Krishna Chitanta Bhutan and Shri Vedi Gadar Hashi Vasari Govan Vakta Mindiki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanath Sham Kanvarakan Giri Govan Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Navadeep Maya Kodam Ki. Ganga Mayi Ki. Guna Mayi Ki. Kalsi I'd like to make a little announcement just before I begin Bhagavad Gita. I think last time I was here, I mentioned that my godbrother Yadu Mahaprabhu was producing a documentary about Ukraine. So I'm going to be showing that documentary this evening. It was produced. And it's a 30-minute documentary. And it will show it just after Arti and before the feast. Yadu Mahaprabhu is, some of you may know, was entrusted by Srila Prabhupada to produce documentaries and various movies, cinemas about our society in the 1970s. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, entrusted him with filming him at the time of Srila Prabhupada's departure, so that he could produce the video of Srila Prabhupada's biography, I Will Wish Him. He produced many cinemas, such as I think The World of Hare Krishna People, Spiritual Frontier, Yoga Well Wisher, probably more, I can't remember them all. But for many years, he was not producing. For reasons, can't go into all the details, I don't even know them all myself. Last year, I was with Yadu Mahaprabhu in Bombay, and I encouraged him to come and attend our festival in Odessa, Ukraine. It's a festival usually attended by approximately 2,000 devotees. And I asked him if he would film it. My original intention was to have some kind of a video to show, because everywhere I go, people always ask me questions, what's happening in the former Soviet Union. And I usually just speak a few things about what's going on, but I've always wanted to have something substantial to show people. So I thought that Yadu Mahaprabhu would put together some kind of a video which is showing the different festivals and the temples. But after filming, about getting about 30 hours of filming, and interviewing various devotees, he realized that he had material for something more than just that, just a, sort of like a film about our temples. He wanted to put together something which is sort of like the history of persecution and development and through the years of the development of the Ukraine Yatra to where it is today. And therefore, he asked if he could interview me, asking me questions, and use my interview as sort of like the narration of the video. So it turned out to be something quite different than what I had initially expected. And he produced it along with another devotee who was a professional also in the field of cinematography. He did a lot of the editing.
So this other person. And now the two of them have got back together, have gotten together because of this one project. The two of them have got together and they revived what's called ISKCON Cinema, which was actually this what Yadav Prabhu used to do in the 1970s. When he had a lot of funding at that time, he was able to produce so many videos. But when he lost funding, he could not produce. So now ISKCON Cinema is back and is going to be producing. They're situated in Bombay, in Chalpati. They have an office there. And they're going to be producing many more cinemas. And Yadav Prabhu is actually, after doing this one project of Ukraine, he has told me that he's very, very inspired. He wants to do a documentary for television of the whole history of the former Soviet Union. The material he had was a little bit limited. He didn't have what he really wanted, but he wants to gather research and research material over many, many years and put together a one-hour documentary. We can look forward to something like that in the future, but for now we have this little 30-minute video, and we're going to show that after the interview, with your permission. I showed it in Mayapur. In fact, it was shown in the Pune Yatra, which was in Pune, here in India, where there were 2,000 devotees attending, and we got an overwhelming response. And then it was shown in my report to the full GBC body. I was requested to show it. And as a result, upon seeing it, about 35 devotees asked me if they could have copies of it, so they wanted to use it to show. And then it was shown in my report, the festival, on the main stage to however many devotees were gathered for the festival. And also, many devotees came up saying that when they saw this and realized the impact of what Srila Prabhupada has done in the Soviet Union and how these people's lives have transformed and benefited, and what to speak of some of the things that they experienced before, as there was personal testimonies you'll see from some of the difficulties and austerities the devotees had to undergo, many devotees broke down and cried. I think there was some value to the video. And the purpose of the video is simply to create awareness. It is not a fundraising video. I'm not showing it, reaching out for donations for the Ukrainian project or anything like that. It was simply to answer those questions where people oftentimes ask what's happening in the Soviet Union. So we'll show that. But I guess, I'm not sure the time exactly, but after RT. So, I will read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 text 15. Nadate kasyachit papam nachayava supritam vibhu agyani navritam jnanam tena muyanti jantava. Translation. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Purport. The word Vibhu means the Supreme Lord, who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is Vibhu or omniscient, but the living entity is Anu or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires. But the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity, as Paramatma, or the Supersoul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desire as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not therefore omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires. And the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha uhyeva sadhu karma karayati tam yam ebhyo lokebhya unindishate esha uhyeva sadhu karma karayati yam adho nishate. The Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in impious activities so that he may go to hell. Kalshitaki Upanishad. Agyo jantur anishoyam atmana sukha dukayo ishura prarito gachet svadam vashvabhram evacha. The living entity is completely dependent in his distress and happiness. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful, and cognizant, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nations. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutras also confirm this. Aishamya nargunye na sapekshatvat tata hi darshayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, although he appears to.
Om Gyanati Maranda Chyabhinandana Salakaya Chakshon Nivitam Yenatazma Shri Gurudev Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vashma Pangam Nangaya Tegarin Nakripata Mahavade Shri Gurudev Tarana Nama Om Vishnu Gudaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vinata Swami Mithi Namaste Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Chandi Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pasta Chandi Satane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, there is a verse that describes the Supreme Personality of God that is equally disposed to every living entity. Therefore, there is no one dear to him. Therefore, there is no one who is a great enemy for him. There is no one a friend. No one is his relative. Being unattached to the material being unattached to the material world, the Lord has no affection for so-called happiness. It is no hatred for so-called distress. These two terms, happiness and distress, they are relative terms. And since the Supreme Lord is always happy, for Him there is no question of distress. So it describes in this verse that, similar to the verse in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Samaham Samabhuteshu Nami Dveshosti Napriya. He says, I'm not envious of anyone. I'm equal to everyone. So for the Supreme Lord, He has no one who is His particular friend or relative, as the verse describes. Nobody who is an enemy for Him. And there's no one who is very dear to Him. Of course, this verse describes the Lord as Super Soul, which is what this verse is speaking about. The Lord's neutrality towards the living entities, allowing the living entities to do, to act according to their own desires. And this verse helps us to understand that we should not hold the Lord accountable for our sufferings. The living entity Himself is, due to His desire, is suffering the reactions of His either pious or impious activities. That verse that we just quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's another verse which comes after it, which is also quite relevant, which says that, you know, although the Supreme Personality of God, the Supreme Lord, is unattached to our happiness and distress according to karma, and although no one is His favorite or enemy, He creates pious and impious activities to the agency of His material potency. And then, for the sake of the continuation of materialistic life, the Lord creates happiness and distress, good fortune and bad fortune, liberation and bondage, birth and death. This verse also explains how the Lord Himself is, He simply sets up, I think the example Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport, He gives the example of, just like the judge, it's a common example. The judge sits in the courtroom, and the judge, he gives awards or he gives punishment according to the behavior of the criminals or of the person, of the defendants who are in the trial. And he is himself not responsible for the suffering. He's simply giving out the punishment according to whatever behavior the defendant engaged. Prabhupada gives another example. He says, just like the government is accepted to be the supreme authority, and the government has different departments which pass judgment in the courts on particular citizens, but the government itself is neutral. They're not responsible for the different judgments that are made, the various judgments which are made in its different departments. In the same way, the Supreme Lord is neutral and is not is responsible for the decisions of His different departmental heads within the cosmic affairs. He set everything up in such a way that they make their decisions, and how are their decisions made? It's in accordance with the living entities. Past sinful or pious activities, decisions are made. I think another example is given also. It's just like the sunlight. The sunlight causes the lilies to open and to close. And the bees, they either will enjoy or suffer, depending upon whether the lilies are open and closed. But it cannot be said that the sunlight or the sun globe is responsible for the suffering or happiness of the bumblebees. So, in the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His form as this Super Soul, He is the witness. And the gives sanction to the living entities to act according to the desire of the living entity. The Prabhupada quotes here, man proposes, God disposes. I think that was just quoted here in his purport. He said that man proposes and God disposes.
And therefore, he says that the Lord, he knows the desires of the living entity, just as a person understands the fragrance of a flower by being near it. In the same way, the Lord is a super soul, knows the desire of the living entity and understands what the living entity is desiring. So this desire of the living entity, of course, is his cause for being bound in the material world and having to be punished and having to receive the results of his past sinful activities. And there, according to his particular desire, he engages in activities which are contrary to the laws of God, and therefore, according to the laws of God, he must be punished. But the Lord, he is transcendental. He is neutral. He does not interfere. He gives that living entity, as he gives all living entities, their minute independence. Prabhupada would oftentimes explain that just as a drop of water contains the same qualities as the whole ocean of water. In the same way, the living entity, who is a minute part and parcel particle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also has independence, but his independence is minute, and the Lord's independence is unlimited. The Lord can do as he pleases, as he states in Bhagavad Gita, Namam karmani limpati nami karma pale spiha iti mam yogi janati karma bhyana sabhadite. There's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. Krishna says, I do not become implicated in the reactions of anything that I do. I don't suffer any reactions. Why? Because he's independent. The Lord being completely independent means is that he can do as he desires and not be implicated. Whereas the living entity, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, performing prescribed work should be performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, otherwise work will bind one to the material world. Therefore, you should perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and this way you will remain unattached and free from karma bandhana, free from bondage of karma. That is the difference. The difference is when a living entity has these desires, instead of performing his activities to please the Lord, he performs his activities for fruit of gain and karma bandhana. He is implicated. The Lord is not responsible. He is not responsible for the independent desire of the living being. He's giving that living entity his independence to choose. But Srila Prabhupada here makes the point very clear that, however, the Lord can fulfill all desires. The Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. Desire, again, this element of desire. What were we reading this morning? Prabhupada talked about the activities of the materialistic mind was determination and rejection, right? We were reading in the purport. We were talking about the mind's business and how the mind was actually created by the total aggregate of the material energy from the Mahatattva, which came in the form of false ego, and then there was the materialistic mind, which was, its primary activities was determination or desire. Determination to do something for himself or rejecting, accepting and rejecting, which is the business of the mind. To accept, as Prabhupada would oftentimes explain, that the mind is a reservoir for all ideas of sense enjoyment. And its business is to accept things for sense enjoyment and to reject, which is due to ignorance, which is exactly what the point is being made here, that it is due to ignorance. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life. And thereby his chain of action and reaction begins due to ignorance. What is the symptoms of ignorance? Symptom of ignorance is, as described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the characteristics of ignorance is the person is always endeavoring for happiness and he's always trying to mitigate his distress, and therefore he's acting accordingly. It's a symptom of ignorance.
As the Bhagavatam describes in the first canto, persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, they do not endeavor for that happiness which is available from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala, because they know that as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it comes automatically in due course of time, just as in due course of time misery comes without asking for it. So Bhagavatam states these are less intelligent persons. They don't have sufficient knowledge. They endeavor. They do persons who are actually philosophical and intelligent, they don't endeavor for these things. But a less intelligent person, he endeavors for them. As Prahlad Maharaj describes also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, in the material world, every conditioned soul is endeavoring for happiness and he's trying to mitigate his distress and therefore he's acting accordingly. Actually, however, as long as he did his endeavors for happiness, then he cannot be happy, because by endeavoring for happiness, his conditions for distress immediately begin. He thinks, makes this endeavor for happiness. But how we see everywhere in Srila Prabhupada's books and his purports, the living entity is Anandamaya Vyasa. And sometimes when people hear this, they think, wait a minute. And we say, well, if we don't endeavor for happiness, what are we supposed to do then? Just endeavor for suffering? What's the alternative to not endeavor for happiness? To endeavor for suffering? No, that's not that at all. Because as Bhagavatam states, persons who are intelligent, they don't endeavor for happiness because they know that comes just as suffering comes. So they endeavor for neither. What do they endeavor for? What is this determination of the living entity? How is it the living entity becomes freed from bondage? How is it the Lord wants to see that living entity turn to Him and to seek the Lord's pleasure? Therefore, he says here, when one desires Krishna, the Lord then takes special care. It's natural. Prabhupada would say, what, if you take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes ten steps to you? The Lord is simply looking for what is our determination. We may not be able to fully satisfy Krishna, especially we may see when we take that turn. But Prabhupada always times give that example from the Bhagavad Gita of two birds sitting in the tree. One bird is enjoying the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is sitting and simply watching as the witness, observing, waiting for the other bird, the soul, to turn to him. But he's simply bearing witness. He is witnessing. He knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamani pravarjuna, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I know everything in the past. I know everything in the present. I know all things yet to come. I also know all living entities. Savasam chaham hiri sanavishto matak svitin yam bohanam cha. I am situated within everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Krishna is there as super soul, the witness. He knows what we're desiring. Just as a person who's close to a flower understands the fragrance of the flower, in the same way the Lord knows the desire of the living entity. He knows, is he desiring to remain entangled in the material world? Is he desiring to enjoy the fruits of his labor, not wishing to offer the fruits to him? Then the Lord says, okay. He gives sanction. Man proposes, God disposes. You want? You can do. Prabhupada gives the example of just like a child, the persistent child with the parent. The persistent child with the parent says, I must have, I must have, I must have, I want it. Child can't have the fulfillment of the desire unless the parent concedes and gives it to it. So by the child's persistence, the parent finally concedes and says, okay, here. Then the child should immediately conclude, oh, my parents wanted me to have this, otherwise why would they give it to me? No, you're just so persistent. And they couldn't get it. Unless, so the same way the Lord is the witness, is the super soul, he knows the persistent desire of the living entity by the dint of what he's dwelling upon. If he's dwelling upon the fulfillment of these desires and he's not making any effort whatsoever to detach himself or to depend upon the Lord to help, beg the Lord to help him to become free from the implication of these desires. Because that's what the Lord wants to see. He wants to see determination. That's why I was really, I liked that word when Prabhupada said determination. But to get determined, desire is there, but the determination for the fulfillment of the desire, right? That also has to be there. And the living entity, the material, and the conditioned soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, he's very determined to enjoy this material world. But just as Prahlad Maharaj gives the example, also in the seventh canto, he says, in the same way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, he tells his friends, his classmates, you should take to devotional service and worship the Supreme Lord, who is the super soul in the heart of all living beings. He says, with the same determination that you have to take care of yourself, now satisfy the Lord. Because everybody has determination when it comes to endeavor for happiness and to avoid distress. There's a lot of determination for that. Nobody wants it. Everybody's looking for some tangible happiness. But as Prahlad Maharaj warned, he says, as long as you're looking for happiness separate from Krishna, then you're creating all the conditions for your distress by that happiness. You think you'll get happiness, but actually you're creating a reality which has no existence beyond your own imagination. You're calling it happiness, that hard, determined effort to get that fruit. And then when you get the fruit, then so much anxiety comes. So many unexpected problems come with the fruit. Right? It's like Chitraketu Maharaj, perfect example in the Bhagavata. Wanted so much to have a son. Such great determination. So how many wives did he have? I can't remember how many queens he had. But he tried, and all his queens were barren. They could not produce a son for him. But he was so determined. He performed a big sacrifice. Finally, he, by the result of his sacrifice, he was able to attain a son who was to be named Harshashoka, who would be the cause of great happiness, but also cause of great distress. Right? Well, because after all that effort to have a son, he was thinking, if I have a son, then my life will be fulfilled. But then what happened is, one wife produced a son, and all the co-wives became envious. Because now they thought, this queen is getting all the special attention. Because she produced the son and we didn't. They poisoned the son. Harshashoka. Great happiness, but it became such a source of distress. He did not think of that at the time. He was thinking only of what will be the fruit of all my determination. This, some of the examples, that is only one. But in the same way, we become determined for enjoyment of this world, and we think, now I've got the fruit, happiness will be there. But we don't take into consideration all the implications that will come as a result. And therefore, as we see again and again and again and again and again, still we're blind. We turn a blind eye to the fact that every time we've got some fruit and we enjoyed it, we didn't realize that at the end somehow misery stepped in, creeped in. It didn't continue. It didn't go on ad infinitum. At some point it stops. And when it stops, how do you define it? What's the definition of when that pleasure stops? You realize misery walked in the door. Then you all of a sudden realize it didn't last forever because misery showed its face. The implication that comes by endeavoring for happiness separate from Krishna. That is the implication. So Prabhupada uses this word for desire. He used the word determination. So he says he wants to see the living entity. How much determined is he to please Krishna? Krishna wants to see it. Was that verse? Vyavasi yatmaka bhuti ekeha puranandana? No, yes. Those on this path, the resolute and knowledge, the resolute and purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Krishna says. They're resolute in purpose, they're determined. Bhokai shaya prasakta tam taiha pranta chetasam. Vyavasi yatmaka bhuti samadhana vidyate. In the minds of those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, who are bewildered by such things, then there's no resolute determination to engage in devotional service. They're too bewildered. They have no determination to do something for Krishna because they want to enjoy. But Krishna says, I'll make it very easy for you. Just show some determination. And then he says, I'll be very happy. He says, however, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one, special care, and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy. Special. I remember when in 1975 I was book distributor. Prabhupada used this word special. I don't know if you remember this, PR. I was distributing books, and we used to go out every day distributing books to please Srila Prabhupada. And that was our motivation. We wanted to do something to please Prabhupada. And Prabhupada made it so clear at that particular time that for establishing his mission, establishing a solid foundation for this movement, that he wanted us to distribute his books widely. So we would go out to work so many hours outside in difficult circumstances, sometimes in freezing cold and in rain. And one time Prabhupada says, the devotees who go out in vans and travel in vans and distribute my books, they get my special mercy. You remember that? Prabhupada said, I think it was in Atlanta. And I was thinking at that time that so much mercy going out and doing this for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's now declaring special mercy. Special mercy. Already so much mercy, right? Because you get a little taste of Prabhupada's happiness. You understand that Prabhupada is not different from Super Soul. He's the external manifestation of Super Soul. You please that external manifestation of Super Soul, then Krishna's pleased. That's the goal, is to please Krishna. So how do we please? We serve that external manifestation of Super Soul. And we do everything. Make so much effort to do it. And Prabhupada was giving us so much mercy. And then he said, special mercy. But what did it do? I know what it did to me, and I know what it did to everyone else who was in our van. It drove us crazy. We started thinking, well, so much mercy, but now special mercy. So we wouldn't get out of the van. We would just travel, stay out for months, and just distribute books for months. Now we would come back to the temple. Those were the times I remember. We go out traveling Sankirtan and then we come back maybe 3 or 4 months later, fill out the van full of books and go out again. It's not just staying for the Sunday feast. No, Prabhu. Special mercy. The Prabhupada's saying right here that when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way one can attain to him and be eternally happy. So special care. What is it? It's not that Krishna is being bribed by the service to give special attention. As we already explained before, there's nobody, he's equal, he's neutral. He says, but whoever renders a little service to me is a friend to me, and I'm a friend to them. So although he's neutral, when he sees somebody taking a special determination to do something to please Krishna, then Krishna says he's special. I'll give him special mercy. I'll help him from within his heart. Tesham evana kam pratama ham agyana jam tama nashayam yatma bhavastho gyana dipena vasvata. He says, out of compassion for them, I will dwell within the core of their hearts. I'll destroy that with the shining lamp of knowledge, that darkness which is born of ignorance. I'll destroy that ignorance from within the heart. Why? Because Krishna is taking special attention. He's doing something. He has some determination to do something which is undoubtedly pleasing to Krishna. And he's making personal sacrifices. He's giving up his own personal interest because he wants to satisfy the Lord. The Lord will take notice of that. That's how they actually get the attention of the Lord. He's there. He knows our determination. He knows our desires. As soon as he sees us turn to him, he's very happy. He's been waiting for that day to turn. And then what does he do? He helps.
Tesham satatam yuktam bhajatam priti purvaka tadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayanti te. To those who are always endeavoring, worship you with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So the Lord is not indifferent to the sufferings of the living entities. It's not, although we just quoted the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which states that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unattached to the happiness and distress, our happiness and distress according to karma, he's unattached. Yes, he's unattached, and he's neutral. But what is it that makes the Lord turn his attention? Although the Lord does not suffer because of our happiness, or the Lord does not be, he's neutral. But when a devotee of the Lord, when a devotee of the Lord comes forward and he feels suffering, one devotee asked this question just recently, I think it was. They're trying to understand, why is it the Lord should feel suffering for our suffering? Why is it he's always happy? But we gave the example that actually that the Lord does feel suffering for the living entity when the devotee of the Lord feels suffering for the sufferings of the living entity. That the Lord cannot reject that desire of his devotee. It was Advaita Acharya who called the Lord to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because Advaita Acharya, who adopted the mood of a devotee of the Lord, he looked at the condition of this world and at Kali Yuga, he saw that everybody was absorbed in fruitive activities. There was no inclination to discuss bhakti, pure devotional service. Everyone was absorbed in having weddings and birthdays for their children. Everyone was worshipping goddess Kali. There was no worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita was discussed, but there was never the word devotion was used. And Advaita Acharya was feeling so much pain in his heart. These people are suffering. Only if the Lord himself comes. So he called out to the Lord. And when Advaita Acharya called out to the Lord heard his call. He could not refuse the call of his devotee. So the devotee sees, the devotee is one who is paradukaduki, who sees others suffering as his own. He sees others suffering, he knows it's due to their forgetfulness of Krishna. And he feels suffering for them. Therefore, he prays to the Lord, only you can deliver him. As Prabhupada stated in his Markandeya Bhagavad Dharma, when he first appeared in the West, and was still sitting on the Jaladutta, writing his poem, saying to Krishna, only you, Krishna, you can give my words potency. You can impregnate my words in such a way so that they can hear your message. If you desire the deliverance, then certainly they will be delivered. He prayed for the deliverance of everyone. That was Prabhupada's prayer. The Lord cannot turn a blind eye to the prayer of such a devotee. So therefore, we understand that if we want to actually please the Lord and get the Lord's attention, then we have to know what it is. What can we do to satisfy the Lord and make a determination to do it? Show the Lord that we desire to do something to please Him. And then the Lord will help. He'll help. He'll relieve. He'll give that person the means by which he can approach to Him. This is the essence of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, which explains how the Lord is simultaneously neutral, but then how He gives special mercy and helps that living entity who turns to Him to come to Him. But He's not responsible for the sufferings of the living entities. The living entities themselves, and Prabhupada would so many times quote that verse, Tattenu kampam shusha miksha mano bhujani hivat makritam papakam hidva vapapir vidanam namaste jiveti yo mukti pade sadhaya bhakti. That one who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past misdeeds, who always offers his obeisances to you and always glorifies you with his body, mind, and words, and mukti pade sadhaya bhakti, he certainly becomes bona fide candidate for liberation. He can be given complete liberation by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He can be liberated from the bondage of material life and be established in his constitutional position of rendering devotional service to Krishna simply by continuing to glorify the Supreme Lord and engaging in service to the Supreme Lord. That effort to satisfy Him. That is what the Lord is wanting to see. How much we're willing to
make the sacrifice to please Him. That is understood to be the perfection of all of our activities. Atak pumbir dvija sheshta vanasham vibhagasa shunustitashi dharmasya sangsiri haritoshana. The highest perfection that one can achieve by discharging his duties according to caste divisions and orders of life is to sangsiri haritoshana, is to please the Supreme Lord Hari. So, that is a little. I'm not going to speak too long this evening because I'm going to be showing the video. That in itself is 30 minutes. This is trying to capture a little bit of the essence of this verse and introduce this most essential point, or elaborate, I should say, upon this most essential point that Srila Prabhupada has introduced in his purport. How the Lord is not responsible for sinful or pious activities of the living being. Alright. We can stop here.
Couple of questions. Question.
I'm looking at him early. No, he always has questions. He always has answers too, though.
Pick it up between 1 and 20. There's one I definitely don't have an answer to.
That I probably don't either.
In the purport, Prabhupada said that desire is a subtle form of conditioning. So when a living entity, first turns to the Supreme Lord, his heart is filled, it says in the 16th chapter of Gita, with so many hundreds and thousands of desires. So now he has a little desire to worship the Lord. But because he's been conditioned for so many births by his other desires, those other desires are very strong. And now the desire to worship the Lord isn't so strong. So it's very hard for that living entity to summon the determination. Does this super soul still, you know, he's okay, he's got that desire. I know he wants, you know, a little desire for devotional service, but he's still got all these other desires. Is the super soul still rewarding these desires that are impediments on the path of devotional service? And, you know, what kind of special help, you know, is there for someone with that little spark amidst so many material desires?
Well, the special help is called Sadhu Sangha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in his Bhakti Tattva Viveka, that he talks about the awakening of Shraddha in the heart of the living entity. That Shraddha, or faith, is awakened by his association with a devotee of the Lord. When a person actually gets the association, he learns that Krishna is the topmost goal of life, and gradually he begins to, with a little faith, he begins to execute devotional service, beginning with hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. He's awakened some faith in hearing about Krishna. So, what does the Lord do to help that living entity whose faith is still a little weak? Is that once that faith has been awakened a little bit, that shraddha of his faith, then if that living entity, having experienced awakening of that faith, and he realizes that Krishna is the topmost goal, then he prays to the Lord to please help me to achieve your devotional service. When that living entity prays in that way, the Lord gives him association, which will help him to protect that faith that has been awakened. And he gives the example, it's just like Shraddha is like the birth of a newborn baby girl. When a newborn baby girl takes birth, parents are very, very careful to protect that newborn baby girl from severe heat, from severe cold, from hunger, from thirst, from dangerous creatures. And at the same time, the mother is always very careful to see that the child is properly nourished to get strength. Right. So, in other words, when Shraddha takes birth in the heart of a living entity, faith, real Shraddha, that Shraddha is the requirement to actually have faith
to hear about Krishna is a requirement to achieve Krishna. If one doesn't have faith, he can never have it. He can never achieve it. Yasya Devi Para Bhakti Gita Devi Tathagara Prabhupada was so many times quote that verse. That for one who has implicit faith in both the Supreme Lord and spiritual master, then all the imports of Vedic wisdom will automatically become revealed. So that's awakened. In the beginning, it's awakened by Sangha, by association. Somehow, some Sukriti was there in the past. Right? Different types of Sukriti are there. There's Moksha Mukhi Sukriti, there's Bhoga Mukhi Sukriti, and there's Bhakti Mukhi. Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti means there was some Sukriti, there were some activities in the past which brought him into the association of a devotee who awakened that faith. So what does he have to do? How is he going to get help? He has to keep himself. Prabhupada explains it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One has to build a fence to protect himself. To keep himself in the association of those devotees who will protect that faith from the dangerous creatures. What are the dangerous creatures? Bhukti, mukti. Those are the dangerous creatures. That's the severe heat and cold. There's only two other desires besides the desire to please the Lord. Bhukti, the desire for material enjoyment, and mukti, the desire to become free from suffering and liberation, or the impersonal liberation, according to the impersonalist point of view from the who are mental speculators or jnanis. So the mukti and bhukti. Therefore, that's the special arrangement that the Lord makes for one whose faith is awakened. Is he that when a devotee who has awakened his faith now begins to pray, he performs by his own will. First is some sukriti, whether it be a jata sukriti, there's some sukriti, but then he has to take it up by his own will and then perform sadhana and pray for the sangha, for the association, so that one will actually be able to get that strength. Because otherwise, without spiritual strength, it's impossible to fight those desires. Nayamatma balahanena labhya. Prabhupada will quote that verse. Right? The Supreme Lord can never be attained by those who have no spiritual strength, to those who are wild and careless, and to those whose austerities are inappropriate. The Supreme Lord is attained only to those who are rightly situated in their determination. The Lord reveals Himself. Such persons enter into the spiritual world. Those whose determination is proper. So, bala, spiritual strength is required, and spiritual strength, we have to get it from a source outside of ourselves. Lord Nityananda is the Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. Lord Nityananda is no different than Lord Balaram, who's a source of spiritual strength. It's explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Lord Ananta Shesh is holding up unlimited universes on his hoods, but he stands on nothing. How can you do that? It's inconceivable. How do you hold up unlimited universes on your hoods, but there's nothing under you to support you? You must be the source of strength. So Lord Balaram, Lord Ananta Shesh, is the source of all spiritual strength. So we have to pray to Lord Balaram. We pray to the representative of Lord Balaram. We pray to them. Give us the spiritual strength to withstand the onslaught of this maya, the onslaught of these material desires. Because by my own efforts, forget it. Forget it. Myself against the illusory energy? I'm finished. Maya is much stronger than me. She works according to Krishna's directions. Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharachanam. Krishna says, Daivi yeshu guna mayi mama maya duratya. It's my maya. Very difficult to overcome. So us, the tiny little jiva, against Krishna's external energy? It's a losing battle from the start. How can we do it unless we get spiritual strength? How do we get spiritual strength? There's no other way to get it except through association. And those who have it, we should seek their association. And if we don't have it, we should pray for it. And then the Lord gives His special mercy. He gives help. And He'll protect that shraddha, that faith within the heart. Protect it from the influence of bhukti and mukti. And He'll help that shraddha to grow and to flower. through different stages of Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, when all anarthas will go away from within the heart. It only happens through Sangha. No other way. When one gets that Sangha, he knows he gets the Lord's special mercy. Okay. Did I answer your question?
Yes, I was just going to say, it's interesting that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the warning is against the man-elephant offense, you should build a fence around your creeper. Prabhupada, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta in the purport, says that fence is sarasana.
What was supposed to be? Arctica?
No, it's not.